Paul was someone who cared about Timothy. And we have to see that. We have to hear it. Paul cared for Timothy. And so Paul had to say hard things to Timothy. Paul had to say difficult things to Timothy. Paul had to correct Timothy when Timothy was wrong. Paul had to look at him and say, Timothy, you're wrong here. And it says that he constantly gave him instructions. It says he constantly gave him commands. And the hardest thing was not for Paul to say those things. The hardest thing was for Timothy to hear those things and to receive them. And that's the difficult thing. Confrontation is not difficult when you have to be the person that talks. It's when you have to be the person that listens. And so Paul's writing to him in 1 Timothy 6, and he says some very difficult things to him. And so I want to read this before we get into Hebrews 11. It says in chapter 6 of verse 11, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. Hear what he's saying to him. So run from all these evil things, pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And then verse 12, which will be on the screen, he says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Here's what we have to remember. You have to keep fighting when the faith is being questioned and your life is being questioned. You have to be the person that continues to fight. And the video that we just played, you're responsible for the fight. Not your mommy, your daddy, not your spouse. Quit living life through your kids. You are responsible to fight the good fight. Now, if you're a parent in this room, you're responsible to fight it and your kids to see it. Amen. You're responsible to declare it. It's sometimes more caught than it is taught. There's going to be moments where you don't have to say a word. Your kids know what's going on. Amen. It's not always pretty. Your facial expressions aren't always nice. They know your tone of voice. He says, you got to fight the fight. I want you to also see something else to which God has called you. Here's what I want you to know. The fight that you are fighting, there will be people that distract you. You have to remember God called you. You have to remember that God is the one who called your name, not the distractor, not the person in your life that isn't for you, not the person in your life that doesn't like you. You have to remember when you're fighting the good fight, because usually when the fight happens for your true faith, for the faith of which you stand for, when you're fighting this fight, there will be people that are against you. Can I just say it comes with the territory? Can I just say it's going to happen? Can I just say there's going to be people that don't like you? Can I just say there's going to be people that want you to fail? I know that sounds harsh, but it's in every part. It's also in the church. It's also at your workplace. It's also in Christian ministries. It's also in all of these things. So let's quit thinking it's only here or it's only there. It happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. And you have to remember, we have to remember when we're fighting the good fight, God is the one that called you. The end of the day, God is the one who said for you to do something. He called you to do something incredible. And there will be people that don't understand that call. There will be people who say, I'm going to try to get you off course from this fight that you're on. He says, no, no, no. I'm asking you, Timothy, fight the good fight. Listen, Jesus said, man, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And what? And the violent take it by force. There's a fight at hand, you guys. You're like, oh, I thought the gospel was real nice and pretty and like nice flowers and real sweet talk. No, Jesus turned some tables over at times because he said this is worth fighting for. Was Jesus quiet when he could have spoken up? Yeah, he was. Is he gentle? Absolutely. Well, there's also some things you got to fight for. He didn't say become a wimp for the true faith. He didn't say be a coward for the true faith. I don't know what your definition of fight is. He didn't say girl fight. He said fight the good fight. I'm thinking UFC stuff. You know what I mean? Like some blood's going to happen.
Did you watch it last night?
Hebrews 11. Let's talk. Hebrews 11 is what we call the faith chapter. If you've read these verses, you'll see the heroes of the faith. Old Testament, heroes of the faith. And we have to talk about what faith is. Faith is believing when I don't see it. That is faith. That's Hebrews 11:1. It starts off with faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. It sounds like it's contradiction because the Bible teaches that faith is visualizing the future in the present. God is a God of the present. Man said seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. JFK said it this way, we will put a man on the moon in the next decade. And when he said that statement, there was not technology alive or invented for that to happen. What was he saying? You're like, it's a president. What is he saying? He's saying, it will happen in the next decade because I believe it's going to happen. That's faith. It's believing when I don't even see it. That's faith. There's some things we have to speak into our life. There's some things that we have to understand, that there are some things in our life that is impossible that can become a reality because of faith. It becomes a reality because we're seeing. What is your dream? What impossible thing is God going to do in your life? You have to have faith. It's believing when other people are around you saying, I don't see that. It's you holding tightly to the things that God has said, his promises. These are not my promises. These are not your friend's promises. These are not some guy who wrote a book's promises. These are God's promises. And his promises can be looked at as true and faithful. And I know this is difficult because you and I have been burned. You and I have a problem with trust. You and I have been lied to. And so it's real difficult to go, God, I know that you've said this, but it's hard for me to trust. And we bring that into our relationship with Jesus. And we're like, God, can I trust you? That's the deepest question all of us have. God, can I trust you? Because I trusted so-and-so or I trusted that person and they failed me. This is the biggest question. But I can tell you, I can see things by faith. Even when I don't see it, faith is also obeying when I don't understand it. Amen. Listen, the end goal isn't to get you to understand it. Look at verse 8 of chapter 11. It was by faith that Abraham, he did what? Obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's faith. It's obeying even when I don't understand it. It's obeying even when I don't see the end result. It's obeying when God says, your wife is going to have a baby, and you go, she's old. She's old. Wrong person, God. Maybe to the next one. But have you seen her lately? She's older. There's no way. It's obeying even though you don't know where you're going. Why do you think, God, this is the character of God? Amen. We want to change God and go, God, I need some more confirmation. God, I need some more details before you ask me to go. I'll obey if. No, obeying is when I don't even understand it. That's what it is. That is faith. It involves risk, you guys. It involves naysayers. It involves people scratching their heads. And I think this is also when we find out, do I care more about what God says or what people say?
That's right.
Which is a great statement. Oh, I care more about what God wants. I care about what God wants in my life. You know when I find out? When God says obey. Well, I haven't had God speak to me and say, do these sort of things. That's all in his Bible, asking us to obey. Even when I don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, he says obey. Here's a fun one. Giving when I don't have it. This isn't just money. Before you think I'm taking up the offering and trying to get in your head. It's giving your time when you think you don't have it. It really comes down to priorities. I think I can give in two ways. I can give by faith or I can give by fear. Those are the two ways I can give. And fear says, how much can I afford to give? And faith says, how much does God want me to give, whether I have it or not? That's the difficult part. Look at verse 4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man. His what did? His offering. And God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of what?
of faith. Not just that he gave, not just of his offering, but that he gave by his example of faith. That's the point. It's giving when I don't even have it. Paul talks to the Corinthian church and he says it this way. I love this story of the Corinthian church because of what it says in the beginning. It says in chapter 8, verse 2, it says, they are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor. Now, you and I don't want to continue reading. These people, I don't want to be associated with these people. They're being tested by their troubles and they're poor. There's the characteristics. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in what? Rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it on their own free will. I think he had to add that because you and I are so skeptical. Who made them give? Who stole from them? He says, no, no, no. They gave on their own free will. God's going to ask you to give something, and sometimes it's your time, sometimes it's your finances, and sometimes it's your talent. And he's going to ask you to give, and you're going to say things like, God, I don't have that. God, I don't have the time for that. God's just really looking at you, goes, no, you don't have the priority for that.
Yeah, that's right.
We have the time. We have the talent, and let's be real, we have the money. It's not a question of whether we have those three things. It's more of a question of how we're prioritizing those three things. I hate asking that question. Can I be real with you? Because I've been nothing but real with you thus far. But let's be honest. We have a lot to offer that we aren't offering. It didn't say Abel was good looking or was talented. It said he gave an offering. And it was a true example of faith. It didn't say anything about these other people except that they were being tested by troubles and they were poor. If poor people gave far more than they could afford, what about us?
Amen.
Fourth thing, persistence when I don't feel like it. Here's what I do. I base too much on how I feel. Real? We base a lot of things on how we feel. Culture tells us that. Our lives tell us that. Persistence when I don't feel like it. I think the guaranteed formula for immaturity is immature people build their lives on feelings rather than commitment. I know that sounds so crazy, but what happens if my life is based on how I feel? I think we end up with some crazy moods, not just on hormone stuff. We flip around. Day to day, we're a different person, right? Because it's based on how I feel. One of the marks of maturity is when you live your life by commitments rather than feelings. What does that look like? It's doing what's right.
Amen.
It's doing what's right. We've overthought, God, what is your plan for me? We've overthought, God, what is it that you want to do in my life? How do you want to use me? God, what? We've overthought that, and God comes back to, could you just do what's right? In this moment, you don't feel like loving, love. In this moment, you feel like saying what you want to say, don't.
That's good.
In this moment, you want to be selfish and you want to spend on you and you want to spend on whatever, don't. This moment, I want to blame God for my current situation, even though God wasn't approving of what we were doing. And now, God, we need a bailout because I look at you more like I look at my government than I do anything else. And God, I need you to be the genie, and I'm coming at you with a list of stuff because I've got my life in a mess and I need a bailout. And God goes, I told you no, you did it anyway, and these are now the consequences. And now we're mad at God and we're shaking our fists and going, God, but I don't feel like this. And God goes, if you would just commit and do what's right. But God, that's not fun. A bailout sounds better. It's easier. Oh, I'm going to write you a check for how much you need to do, or I'm going to send you to class on how to do finance. What's better? Dave Ramsey, don't tell me what I need to do. Just bail me out. That's not how it works. Successful people do what most people don't feel like doing. Amen. That's real. It's because we have to develop habits and we have to be disciplined and we have to tell ourselves no. We have to tell other people no. Well, they get mad at me when I tell them no. Who cares? They shouldn't be in your life anyway. Oh my gosh, but I can't say that. Sure you can. Tell them no because it's costing you your life. And if you're saying yes to them, you're saying no to your kids anyway. You're always saying no to someone. So prioritize. You're going to have to tell yourself no, and you're going to have to tell other people no. And the earlier you get, if you're a teenager in this room, start telling people no, except your parents. But start telling people no in your life. Start telling yourself no so that you will be a responsible adult that moves into relationships that know how to say no. And you have to say no to good things. You will have to say no to good things. As they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, there's more people in this town that need miracles. And Jesus said, no, I got to go to the next town because that's what I'm called to do. What do you think those people did? They yelled at him. They were mad at him. What did Jesus still do? Well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and go with the crowd since they want me here. No, he said, no, got to go. What did he say no to? Good things. Good things. It's not just that we're saying no to bad things. We have a hard enough problem with that. We got to say no to good things. Oh, goodness. Verse 27. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Persistence. When I don't feel like it, when people are hating me, when people are following me, persistence, being persistent in the things that I'm doing. How about this? Thanking God before I receive it. Thanking God before I receive it. Verse 30. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. What did they do every day for 6 days? And on the seventh day, the walls came crashing down. They were thanking God in advance for what he was going to do because he had spoke to them. What did they have to do after he spoke to them? They still had to walk. The miracle wasn't in what he said for them to do. Hey, walk around these walls. It was in the fact that they were thanking God before it even happened. If I wrote you a check right now and it's $1,000 and I gave that check to you, when are you going to thank me for that check? Let me take that back. You might not believe me. If Bill Gates wrote you a check for $1,000 and he handed it to you, and you would you thank him at that moment or would you wait till you go cash the check? That moment you're going, absolutely. Thank you, Bill Gates. I know you're good for it. That's faith. It's thanking God before you receive it. It's thanking God on his promises before you receive that promise. God, I thank you for a spouse that you're one day going to give me. God, I thank you for the kids that maybe one day you're going to give me. It's thanking God in advance before you ever receive it. That's faith. It's not faith for me to give you $1,000 cash and then you think that's called generosity. That's you being thankful for what I just gave you. We don't thank God enough in advance. That's faith. That's faith, you guys. Look at the story in John 11. Mary, Martha, these two sisters, their brother's dead. Jesus shows up. And what does she say to Jesus? If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. That's what she says to him. If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus says to her, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. Jesus was directing her faith to the present.
He declares that to Martha. He declares he's the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the one. Our faith can exist right now in the present reality of who he is. That's the promise, that our faith can be right now. I'm thanking God in advance before I ever receive it. That's faith. That is faith. Last thing, it's trusting, even if I don't get it. I've already told us, we have a hard time with trust. We have a hard time, not when life is good, trusting. We have a hard time when life isn't good. It's not how I thought it would turn out. I didn't see it like that. God doesn't always answer the prayers how we want him to answer them. And so it's trusting God. That's faith, trusting God. Even when it doesn't happen the way I thought it would happen. Continue reading. Verse 39. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for who? For us. So that they would not reach perfection without us. Who's he talking about? Moses. Guess what he didn't see? The promised land. He's saying, listen, their great reputation is because they had faith. Their great reputation is because they went when they were told to go. Their great reputation was because they believed when nobody else believed. When God said, go into this land, and it says that there's giants, he said, listen, Caleb and Joshua, they believed even though there was giants. He said, that's faith. That's faith. Romans says it this way, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Who's rejoiced this week because of your problems and trials? Don't be that teacher's pet in here. None of you were rejoicing. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Who loves endurance? Yay! And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Oh, we love this. God, thank you for these problems and these trials. I know you're just developing my character. I love character. What is this all? All of this is happening so that we will trust God and that we will persevere and that we will keep going. But the plan of it all is God uses the people in our life to strengthen us to be the character that God wants. And you thought God had abandoned you, and you thought, God, why have you brought this person in my life? And God goes, it's to develop you. It's to make you a person of character. That is the goal, so that the Holy Spirit will fill your life so that you can't take credit for loving people. Because you can't. There's people that God puts you in your life, and you're like, there's no way I could love that person. Only God could do that. There's no way I could love that person. And the year ago, you couldn't. But what has happened in this last year? You've endured. God has given you endurance. Amen. You're a different you this year. He's strengthened you. You're facing things right now that you couldn't have faced a year ago. He's developing you because you're learning to laugh when you're in the middle of your problems and trials. You're learning to go, oh God, you're developing some character in me right now. Oh, I'm rejoicing. What are you rejoicing by? By faith. You're rejoicing by faith. You're not rejoicing, God, thank you so much for this tool you've put in my life. What a great employee. I love him.
I love being around them. I'm rejoicing, Lord. They're so awesome. Thank you for that. You're developing character. Love character, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What are you saying right now? Sarcastic rejoicing by faith. That's what you're doing. God, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to obey anyway. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not seeing what you're seeing. And he's going, good, because you probably wouldn't keep going. I didn't show you the end because you would have stopped. He says, I'm developing character in you. That's what I'm doing. I'm developing character in you. I'm trusting God by faith, even when I don't understand it. Even when I don't get it. That's what I'm doing. That's faith, you guys. And there's going to be moments where you're like, God, I'm not feeling this. God, I'm not liking this. Can I ask you to do something? Quit throwing it out that it's not Jesus, because it might be Jesus developing you. Quit trying to leave before it's time. In fact, if you're in this room and you're like, I'm trying to get out of something, God might be asking you to endure. Oh, I don't like that. Remain is not a great word for me. I like to flee. You know the only time in the Bible that God or any of the writers says for you to flee? You know when that was? It was sexual sin. It wasn't just sin. It was sexual sin. He's like, hey, that one, it's really going to get you. Run as fast as you can. And even slow people ran fast. It's the only time he tells you to run. Why? Because that could get you. I think the word of the Lord has been over this summer, remain. Be faithful where you are. Stay, hold tight. Hold tightly to this faith. And guys, that's not fun. Waiting patiently is not fun. Remaining and letting your character be chiseled away, not fun. But God says, I'm developing something here. Amen. That a year from now, you're going to go, wow. As a parent, there was moments where your parents asked you to do things and you didn't understand it. I don't understand why I have to do that. Like at age 13, my mom said to me, listen, you're doing your own laundry. If you want your laundry clean, do it yourself. Now, I think because I'm a smelly boy and I was the only smelly boy in the family, but nonetheless, 13, I'm doing my own laundry and I don't like it because there's some things I turn pink. But you know who did appreciate it? Years later, my wife. Now, I'm not doing hers, but I'm still doing my own. I didn't understand it when my mom was saying for me to do this. What was she developing me? She was developing me some characteristics that I would need later in life. And there's a lot of stories. There's a lot of things that God asks you to do, or your parents ask you to do, or a teacher asks you to do, that you go, I don't feel like doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't even like you as a teacher. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing it. But God is trying to develop you, and he's trying to strengthen you, and he's trying to change you and mold you into what he wants you to be as a husband, as a father, as a man, as a friend. That's all wise. And he brings people in your life that sometimes are not fun to have in your life to develop you, to show you you're not exactly where you thought you were. That's why that person's there. They're to push you and to prod you and to correct you. Here's the thing that you have to find out before you allow that person in your life is at the end of the day, and I said this last week, is that person for you? If that person is for you, then you'll have no problem receiving correction from them. But if their agenda is not for you, you do not have to listen to them. They're not for you. I'll listen to anybody that I know is for me, whose point is to correct me because they want me to grow, whose point is to develop some character inside of me, not out of selfish gain, not out of arrogance, not out of pride, not out of to show you, but to say I'm for you. I'll listen to anybody who says that, for you. You have to have people in your life that are for you. You have to. God says those are the people I'm going to use in your life to change you, to mold you. We need that, you guys. That's the kingdom of God. God's trying to do that in us to develop and to change us.
We have to see that. Any perfect people in here? No hands went up. Easter would be fun, huh? No, there's not. What does that tell me? It tells me we're all still being molded into what God has for us. He's changing us. So before you discount the person in your life that is pushing you a little bit harder than you thought, or in the way that you didn't want to, maybe it's Jesus saying, watch this. I'm developing some character inside you. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you that at the end of the day, your promises are real. They're yes, they're amen. God, that you have not forsaken us, you've not abandoned us. They are real. And God, I pray today, God, that we would not go the easy way out, but we would go the way that develops character and strength inside of all of us. God, that you would show us the truth for our life and what it is that you're saying to us, what it is that you're revealing to us. God, I pray if we're living by sight and outside circumstances and not by the promises of the word, God, that you would correct us today. And whatever area that is, God, whether it's giving of my life away or it's being faithful when you say to move or to obey, God, whatever it is that we're not doing, whether it's believing or being persistent or trusting, God, I pray that you'd show us that today. God, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that was from the beginning and will be at the end. We look to you today to change us, to transform us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Listen, would you stand with me today? And as you do, maybe you're in this room today and you just say, you know what, where I am, as we sing this last song, I just need prayer. It could be healing. It could be strength. It could be relational. It could be unspoken. It could be whatever. You're in this room and you say, you know what? I would love for someone to pray with me today. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you to step out from where you're at and to just join us up here and someone's going to pray with you. Maybe you're in this room and you say, you know what? I'm very uncomfortable with that. I don't want to do that. Maybe you just stand where you are and maybe you lift a hand and I'm going to ask if there's anyone around you that is lifting a hand. I'm going to ask you, would you pray for that person today? You don't need a degree. You don't need a badge. You don't need a label to be a person that prays. I'm going to ask you to pray. If you know someone in this room and you're in relationship with them and you know they're going through something and maybe they're not responding, but you know you have an obligation in this room to pray with that person or to go in and encourage that person. So I'm going to ask you during this time, if any of those things, and let me say this, if you're uncomfortable with any of those things, that might be God stretching. I don't think God says, wait till you're comfortable and then do it. I don't think that's God, because carrying a cross is never comfortable. So I'm going to ask you, kindly inviting you to, would you step out in faith? Maybe you got to turn to someone you don't know and say, hey, can you pray for me? Maybe you just need to sit where you are. Maybe you need to kneel. Maybe you just need to stand and take in what God's doing in your heart. Whatever it is, my prayer for you today is that you would seek God. Because as that video said, it starts with you. It starts with you. Amen? Mercy, worthy is thou.
heaven.